Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 4, entitled Vidura Approaches Maitreya, text number 25. Vidura Vacha, Gyanam Param Svatmaraha Prakasham. Yad aha yogeshvara isharaste Vaktum bhavano hati yad hi vishno Vritya savritya takritas charanti. Vidura vacha. Vidura said, Jnanam, knowledge, Param, transcendental, Svaatma, regarding the self, Rahaha, mystery, Prakasham, enlightening, Yat, that which, Aha, said, Yoga Ishvaraha, the master of all mystics, Ishvara, the Lord, Te, unto you, Bhaktum, to narrate, Bhavan, your good self, Naha, unto me, Ahati, deserve, Yat, for he, reason of, Vishnu, of Lord Vishnu, Vritya, servants, Svavritya Atha Krita, for the interest of their servants, Charanti, do wonder. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation, Vidura said, O Uddhava, because the servants of Vishnu, the Lord, wander in the interest of serving others, it is quite fit that you kindly describe the self-knowledge with which you have been enlightened by the Lord Himself. Translation responsibly. Vidura said, O Uddhava, because the servants of Vishnu, the Lord, wander in the interest of serving others, it is quite fit that you kindly describe the self-knowledge with which you have been enlightened by the Lord Himself. Purport. The servants of the Lord are actually the servants of society. They have no interest in human society other than to enlighten it in transcendental knowledge. They are interested in imparting knowledge of the relationship of the living being, the Supreme Lord, the activities in that transcendental relationship, and the ultimate goal of human life. That is the real knowledge which can help society achieve the real aim of human welfare. Knowledge in the matter of the bodily necessities of eating, sleeping, mating, and fearing, transformed into various branches of advancement of knowledge, is all temporary. A living being is not the material body, but an eternal part and parcel of the Supreme Being, and thus revival of his self-knowledge is essential. Without this knowledge, the human life is baffled. The servants of the Lord, Vishnu, are entrusted with this responsible work, and so they wander over the earth and to all other planets in the universe. Thus, the knowledge which was received by Uddhava directly from the Lord deserves to be distributed in human society, especially to persons like Vidura, who are highly advanced in the devotional service of the Lord. Real transcendental knowledge descends in the disciplic succession from the Lord to Uddhava, from Uddhava to Vidura, and so on. Such supreme transcendental knowledge is not possible to achieve by the process of imperfect speculation as performed by the so-called learned mundane wranglers. Vidura was anxious to know from Uddhava that confidential knowledge known as Paramam Stitim, in which the Lord is known by his transcendental pastimes. Although Vidura was older than Uddhava, he was anxious to become a servant of Uddhava in the transcendental relationship. This formula of transcendental disciplic succession is taught by Lord Chaitanya also. Lord Chaitanya advises that one receive transcendental knowledge from anyone, whether a Brahmana or a Shudra, a householder or a sannyasi, provided that person is factually conversant with the science of Krishna. A person who knows the science of Krishna is factually a bona fide spiritual master. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manomishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Upakadamayam Dadati Svaparantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Vaparakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagujatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sagadutam Purichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vichakam Vitamscha He Krishna Kuruna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gauranki Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranami Hari Priye Vancha Kaupa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Pevita Patitanam Padnebhyo Vaishnavyebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. The translation again. Vidura said, O Uddhava, because the servants of Vishnu the Lord wander in the interest of serving others, it is quite fit that you kindly describe the self-knowledge with which you have been enlightened by the Lord Himself. So we've been last couple of days we've been hearing from Uddhava, now we're hearing Vidura's speaking to Uddhava in their meeting. So this verse I guess one of the main theme in this verse is human welfare work. As Prabhupada writes in the first line, that the servants of the Lord are actually the servants of society. So the devotees are engaged in the highest welfare work, actually. So before meeting devotees, I was had started some studies in, it's called development studies, trying to help people in the world. And then when I met devotees, they were explaining to me how Prabhupada says that material welfare work is like blowing air on a boil. I've never actually seen a boil, not so common in Australia, but maybe in very tropical countries when it's very hot, boils can develop on the skin, sort of like pus and things. But the cure is actually to cut it off and you know, be done with it like that. But if you just blow air on it, then you're maybe some momentary feeling of relief, and then it's still there and that's still causing pain and trouble. So in the same way, then material welfare activities help people just temporarily. So we're feeding people, we're giving them clothing and shelter, which of course they appreciate, and it is, you know, in one sense commendable that people should engage in these activities. But devotees are interested to help people to a higher level, on a spiritual level, understanding that actually the soul is suffering due to our forgetfulness of Krishna. And we belong in the spiritual world, and just because of that forgetfulness, where we've come into the material world and suffering the threefold miseries. So we see that there are so many kinds of human welfare work. Just in human society, we have environmental movements represented by Greenpeace or Sea Shepherd. And even the UN has, although it was started with the idea of having peace in the world, it's branched out into many sub-areas. And they also have many environmental branches. And then there's medical welfare, the Red Cross and the Doctors Without Borders. Each year in Melbourne we have the collection for the Royal Children's Hospital. There's someone called Fred Hollows, who was an eye doctor, so he goes to third world countries, and he's passed away now, but his foundation, they do eye surgery in developing countries to give people back their sight. And then there's something called the Make-A-Wish Foundation, that I think it's kids with cancer. So devotees wish they hadn't come to the material world. But and then there's humanitarian organisations such as Oxfam or World Vision, Amnesty International. So they're doing so much activities for the upliftment of human society. And we can wonder, oh, why would people help anyone at all? What's the motivation for helping others? And especially if we see maybe we have no connection with that person on a bodily level, they're not our personal relatives or anything. And so, you know, behavioral scientists, they puzzle over this, that, well, what was that evolutionary advantage that to acting for another's welfare? Why did humans evolve this charitable tendency? And then, you know, this is in a speculative way. So they think, you know, perhaps cooperating with each other between members of this human species was, maybe that worked better than just killing each other. But ultimately everything comes from Krishna, as we know, that he's the real well-wisher, and so this charitable tendency is actually coming from Krishna. He has our welfare in his mind. He wants to help the living entities come back to him. And even his devotees in the spiritual world, he's always thinking of their pleasure, and they are thinking of his pleasure. So, but in the material world, that charitable tendency is as Prabhupada would say, a perverted reflection. So Prabhupada explains about concentrated and extended selfishness. So even though if we're giving in charity, someone comes and knocks on your door and says, do you want to give a donation? But like sometimes, even I was at the supermarket the other day and you're buying something and they ask you, do you want to give $2 to this hospital? So even though we might not, we won't meet the recipients of our charity, most likely. So we can think of, why are we doing that? We're not seeing the benefit of our charity. But still, by identifying ourselves with that cause, or with that, or with this particular society, or with the human society, then people get that satisfaction of, I'm helping my neighbour, or I'm helping my fellow human being. And so some people's, they will work for the entire human society, working to help different disadvantaged sections of society. And other people will, you know, dedicate their life's energies to saving the planet from environmental destruction, so that every single living being everywhere can be, you know, not only humans but all the fishes and all the birds and all the beasts, so they can live a peaceful existence free from the unnecessary anxieties caused by human exploitation. So some people work in this way. And so by sacrificing for all of human society or for every living being on this planet, then they're feeling that in this way I will become satisfied, because I am a part of everything, and if I can work to make everyone else happy, then I will be happy. And then they have this idea that, how can I be happy if someone else somewhere on this planet is suffering? Because they're identifying with this planet, or with this human society, or with this, or the broader, you know, as a living entity, with all the other animals, and so they don't want to see anyone else suffer, because then they feel that that will make them, they will feel suffering. So this is the idea behind altruistic activities, that no one else should suffer, because then that's my suffering. So then ultimately it's extended selfishness. So identifying ourselves with a larger unit, whether it be family or society, global, and then basing our happiness on that, on the welfare of that larger unit. So, and some people have even, they might even expand this conception to the very highest limit, the highest welfare work, that they say that there's an idea that working for humanity is equivalent to working for God. So, you know, it can sound a bit logical that, yes, everyone is part and parcel of God. We understand that too. So, isn't it correct that working for people is also working for God? So, there was a conversation Prabhupada was having with one Indian man, and this man was, he was relating to Prabhupada how he had met another sadhu, and he had asked his question to that sadhu. So the Indian man, he asked that sadhu, there was an Indian, that Vivekananda, who was a, I'm not sure if I'd call him a sadhu, but India, he represented Hinduism when in America, and I think in Chicago, when there was a, you know, conference of world religions. So the man representing Hinduism was Vivekananda. But he preached impersonalism, and also Prabhupada says he, when he went to America, he learned how to eat meat. Then he came back and said to the other sannyasis, it's okay to eat meat. So Vivekananda had said that service of God is service, or service to humanity, is service to God. And the man talking to Prabhupada had asked this other sadhu, do you think it is correct? And that sadhu said, yes, this is correct. But Prabhupada, he counteracted. He said, Prabhupada, he didn't give his own opinion, but he straight away said, so in the Bhagavad Gita, is there any such statement that service to mankind is service to God? And so, but there isn't. So he gave the example of the tree that, you can't say that serving each and every leaf is serving the root of the tree. So the service, if we want to help the tree, we don't pick off the bugs off every leaf and give it some water, but we give water to the root. So this is where the service should go. But so it's a wrong idea to say that serving humanity is serving God. Because even though, we're all expanded from God, but to actually help humanity, then we need to serve God. And so if we're also, this idea that serving humanity is serving God, it also has the misconception that, I am the doer, that I can make a difference to, to humanity. But actually, Prabhupada was explaining in that conversation that the material world is going on by nature's law. Everything in this world is just under the control of material nature. So people cannot interfere in that. So that is the law of karma. So as Prabhupada was saying, that you can't make a poor man a rich man or an unhappy man happy. So just people have been put in their situation, their material situation, because of association with the modes of material nature. And he also gave an example of a hog, that we all like to eat halibut, but you can't make a hog eat halibut. The hog would prefer to eat stool. So it's a wrong idea to think that by our own efforts we can change and make people change people's circumstance. Everything's going on just by nature's law. So Prabhupada is saying, this is just concoctions. So for devotees, of course, we have that tendency to be charitable and to want to engage in welfare activities. So the only thing we can actually do to help people is help them to become devotees of Krishna. So as Prabhupada was writing in his purport, that the devotees are interested in imparting knowledge of the relationship of the living being with the Supreme Lord, activities in that transcendental relationship, and the ultimate goal of human life. So, but we also see that, then he says that this is the real knowledge, which can help society achieve the real aim of human welfare. But we also see that, this is quite, high-level philosophy that's, contained in the Vedic literature. So people, it would take them quite some time to come to that understanding, that philosophical understanding, that we have a relationship with the Lord, and so on. So therefore, devotees can also act in other ways. They can act, engage in welfare activities, apparently mundane welfare activities. And due to a devotee's Krishna conscious knowledge, then those welfare activities will become enhanced. For example, for environmentalism. Generally, everyone in the world is engaged in sense gratification, so that means exploiting the world and leading to so much environmental disasters. And then environmentalists come along and try to patch up those environmental disasters. But a devotee can give advice to environmentalists that first we need to stop just living for sense gratification and live a bit more simply, and then naturally the environment will become better. Just like in the Vedic system, the Vaishyas are meant to look after cows, and when the cows are looked after, then automatically, you know, if we're not engaging in so many factory work and everything, then the water stays clean and the grass is, the land is nice. So in that way, by giving Krishna conscious knowledge, then other welfare activities become complete. So therefore, devotees can engage in other activities, you know, where required, and perfect that welfare activity. So as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, so as not to disrupt the minds of ignorant men attached to the fruitive results of prescribed duties, a learned person should not induce them to stop work. Rather, by working in the spirit of devotion, he should again engage them in all sorts of activities for the gradual development of Krishna consciousness. So, as we know, when someone comes along to Krishna consciousness, then we just, whatever their position they're in, we accept that and we just add Krishna. Just like you're, you know, adding a one to so many zeros, then whatever they're doing can become valuable if they just start chanting, start offering their food, adding Krishna in these small ways, then all of their activities will become perfect. So Prabhupada also explains how, you know, just like devotees, Prabhupada wanted that ISKCON opens a Varnashram college to train people how to act in society. So even though a devotee might be training someone how to be a kshatriya, how to fight, still they're a Vaishnava. They're not, you know, they're not just a kshatriya. And he also gave the example of if Prabhupada was teaching someone how to mop a floor, it doesn't mean that Prabhupada was a floor mopper, that he's a pure devotee. But just to teach people, we engage in these, you know, lesser activities. But the devotee's main business is always hearing and chanting. So so devotees, you know, don't need to get involved with mundane welfare work. But if they do just to help people, then they should always keep the focus that their main activities in life are hearing and chanting about Krishna. Another statement that Prabhupada makes in this purport is that thus the knowledge which was received by Uddhava directly from the Lord deserves to be distributed in human society, especially to persons like Vidura, who are highly advanced in the devotional service of the Lord. So here we're seeing that Krishna conscious knowledge has to be distributed in human society. But then he's saying, especially to persons like Vidura, and Vidura is a topmost devotee. So not only is devotional service, that knowledge of devotional service, distributed to non-devotees, but also to devotees. For example, we see that, you know, whenever we have some visiting Maharaj, their activity, they're travelling around the world, and they're stopping at all the temples, and they're preaching to the devotees. So, of course, we have programs to invite new people, And even at these programs, we may not necessarily preach directly on Bhagavad Gita. We might have some other topic indirectly. So devotees also need to preach to other devotees. This is what we're seeing in this verse, that, well, as Prabhupada saying, that this knowledge, because the tendency of conditioned souls is to forget, so therefore other devotees are always reminding us about this knowledge of our relationship with Krishna, such as Dehino Svinyata Dehe, that there is the Dehi and the Dehe, the owner of the body and the body. So they're two different things. So these things we devotees always need to be hearing. And then the preaching activities of the devotees can be effective. If they're constantly hearing from other devotees, then their preaching to non-devotees becomes more effective, that they're very solid in their understanding of Krishna consciousness, because they're always hearing from other devotees. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, for one who explains this supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. So even Krishna was saying in the previous chapter that the knowledge of devotional service should never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service. So he's saying that this knowledge of devotional service is just for the devotees. But then also next verses he says that, but one who listens with faith and without envy becomes free from sinful reactions. So although this knowledge is actually meant just for devotees, we do have classes, and if, because people are generally innocent, as Prabhupada would say, it's just the leaders who are demoniac, and the innocent people are unfortunately following them. So when Prabhupada was travelling around the world, he went to Russia, and he was hoping that he could have a meeting with some Hindu professors and have some programs and things, but he wasn't able to do very much. He had a meeting with a Hindu professor at a university, but this professor himself was very foolish. He thought that with the end of the death of the body, then that's the death of the self. And also being in the communist era, the authorities didn't let Prabhupada travel very widely, and his servant Shyamasundara Prabhu spent most of the hours of the day just collecting food and queuing for food and getting cabbage and things. There wasn't much food in Russia. So, Shyamasundara met a Russian man and his Indian friend, and this Russian became very interested in Krishna consciousness, and so he came to meet Prabhupada, and then he came for a few days in a row, and Prabhupada was telling him all about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And so Prabhupada said that, just like you can, when you cook a pot of rice, then you can tell if the whole pot's ready just from one grain of rice. So from this one Russian person, he could understand that people in Russia were very much eager for spiritual knowledge, though it had been repressed by the leaders. So people are generally innocent, and if they hear with a bit of faith, then they'll get great benefit, and then they can become devotees. And also in that conversation with Prabhupada, that There's, you know, people want to serve the poor people. There's this idea that serving poor people is serving God. Vivekananda had made up this idea, actually. It's called Dridra Narayan. So Dridra, I think, means poor. So saying that Narayan has become poor because Narayan is in everyone. So Narayan, Lord Narayan, is in the poor people too. So by serving them, we're serving Narayan. But this this is just a concoction that, first of all, there's no such thing as Dridra Narayan. Like, Narayan is the husband of the goddess of fortune, so he cannot be ever poor. And Prabhupada explains that actually poor means poor in knowledge. So devotees are trying to give the wealth of knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Even to, you know, people in the West are very well, so materially well off, but they're very poor in spiritual knowledge. So he also explains that everyone is getting their food according to their karma. So the same point that we can't actually help people, you know, everyone is bound by the laws of karma. Whatever their happiness and distress is in this life is already fixed at the time of birth practically. So that nothing can be done to, you know, actually change their karma. If someone, you know, is sometimes you have stories of from rags to riches, but that's also in their karma that, you know, they were meant to, you know, be in poverty for a certain period of their life, and by their karma then they become wealthy materially. But that's not because someone, maybe externally it looks that maybe they got help from someone, but actually that was just due to their karma. And final point that Prabhupada makes in this purport is that a person who knows the science of Krishna is factually a bona fide spiritual master, whether they be a brahmana or a shudra, a householder or a sannyasi. So this was established in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes with Ramananda Roy. That Ramananda Roy was a householder, but still Lord Chaitanya went to him to inquire about spiritual knowledge. So then he said, whoever can teach one about the science of Krishna is to accept it as guru. And that if someone is actually sincere about learning spiritual knowledge, then they won't distinguish whether is this person a sannyasi or is this person a brahmana, but they'll see what is the level of knowledge of this person, and can I, you know, by inquiring from this person, can I access that knowledge? So therefore the activities in Krishna consciousness are the highest welfare work. You know, you might tend to forget this, but just serving prasadam at our restaurants or you know, book distribution, it's actually the topmost welfare activities. And other welfare activities, for example, or Prabhupada gives the example that if someone's very hungry, so they're suffering in that way, that they're starving, but you go and take their coat and say, oh look, I'll wash your coat for you. And so in a way you're helping them, you're washing their coat, but you haven't solved their actual problem, that they're hungry. So what people really want is spiritual nourishment. And other welfare activities are helping people, you know, and it's good if people can cultivate some compassion in their heart. But devotees explain to people that the real help to people is understanding how they got in that miserable situation anyway, and how they can stop getting into further miserable situations by becoming free from the repetition of birth and death. So I'll stop there, see if there's any comments or questions. So we'll take a shot of Grantra Shima Havitam Ki.